You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking. I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish. Publicize your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Welcome to the New Books Network.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of New Books Network. This is Morteza Hajizadeh, your host from Critical Theory Channel. Today, I'm honored to be talking to Dr. Arya Aryan again. Dr. Arya Aryan is an assistant professor in English literature. He received his PhD in postmodern contemporary literature and medical humanities from Durham University in the UK. He also carried out a postdoctoral research fellowship at the University of Tübingen in Germany. His research interests are postmodernism, contemporary literature, and medical humanities. He's the author of several articles and books, including the postwar novel and The Death of the Author. And we have a podcast on this book on our channel. And today we'll be talking about his second book, The Postmodern Representation of Reality in Peter Ackroyd's Chatterton. Arya, welcome to our channel.
Hi, Morteza. Thank you very much for the opportunity. I'm very happy to be hosted by you.
Great to have you here again. And we're excited to learn more about Peter Ackroyd. I guess before the interview, I told you that before I came across this book that you sent to me, I'd never heard the name Peter Ackroyd, and I kind of feel embarrassed. So before talking about the book, can you tell us a little about Peter Ackroyd, who he is, what his famous works are, and then how this project, this book came about?
Yeah, that's a good actually place to start with. I came to know Peter Ackroyd when I was an MA student, when I was working through my research on postmodernism. So Peter Ackroyd is a wonderful writer. Postmodernist, especially for his historiographic metafiction works like Chatterton itself, this novel, and Hawksmoor. These are the best novels by Peter Ackroyd. The themes he's very much preoccupied with could be originality, authenticity, the role of the author, what is copy, what is parody, you know, all these. Mostly he's occupied with narrative techniques. So this particular novel, Chatterton, could exemplify his most, you know, ambitious preoccupations and concerns with fiction and theories of fiction. His works are very, you know, theoretical. It includes so many theories from Plato to the present moment. And how I came to know, how I came up with this idea, it was during my MA thesis, actually. I turned my MA thesis into this book, into a monograph. So during that time, I felt a need for a book which would explicate postmodernism, as it is a very complex and difficult, you know, period to grasp, like the uncertainty principle or the double slit experiment in quantum mechanics. So Richard Feynman, the famous physicist, once said, if you think, I'm quoting, if you think you understand quantum mechanics, you don't understand quantum mechanics. The same with postmodernism and postmodern theories, due to the paradoxical self-contradictory logic. There are great books written on postmodernism. However, and I've used most of them in the book. However, they're either too theoretical, this is what I felt some years ago, or kind of a bit too difficult, especially for non-native undergrad and postgraduate students. Therefore, I tried to make it as comprehensive as possible and offer a basic understanding of postmodernism, a kind of handbook to understand these other novels in the same fashion, such as John Fowle's novels, or Peter Ackroyd's other novels like Oxmoor. So I would say that the book's primarily designed for to help undergraduate students and postgraduate students to have a better understanding of postmodern fiction, especially historiographic metafiction, and the postmodern perspective towards artistic representation or referentiality, and aims to answer the question whether a literary work is able to refer to an external reality, or is it auto-referential, just referring to itself as an artifact, or is it both? So I've decided, I've dedicated the first chapter to some important common narrative techniques used in postmodern fiction, such as what is historiographic metafiction, what is representationality, or anti-representationality, what is the concept of heterocausal, what about paratextuality, parody, self-reflexivity, Derrida's concept of under-erasure. So I've tried to bring all these concepts all together, put shortly and clearly, to be able to help undergrad and postgraduate students.
By the sound of it, it sounds like a very exciting project, because I remember when I was an undergrad myself, it was extremely difficult to kind of get an understanding of these terms. I mean, there were books, there were dictionary or encyclopedic entries, but these terms are really, really amorphous. And I was desperately looking for a book that could just give me, you know, a kind of a dummy's version of, I don't know, introduction, and like postmodernism for what is the name of those series books? For dummies or whatever it is. Yeah, Dummies Guide to Something, whatever. Yeah. And I guess even from experience, I realized that such books that kind of capture a literature review are the perfect entry for even undergrad students, because they give you like the main theories, they give you a definition of the main ideas. You just named a number of different terminologies. So a lot of people have heard of modernism. They know what it is. They don't know what it is. Tell us how you define postmodernism in this context. And then in the book, you also come up with another concept, heterocosmic, that I have never heard of. So you've argued that postmodernism is heterocosmic. Walk us through that, please.
Yeah.
Postmodernism is already difficult enough.
Yeah, it is already. One of the most challenging, you know, tasks is to define postmodernism, because it's kind of like, you know, impossible. However, put shortly, it is the incredulity towards metanarratives, as Lyotard said. However, in this book, I've tried to delineate it in terms of three sectors or sections. A historical period after the Second World War, in terms of theory, including the writings of Jacques Derrida, Michel Foucault, and Roland Barthes, for example, and in terms of art and literature, which is exemplified in Chatterton, the novel written by Peter Ackroyd. This third category includes writers such as Thomas Pynchon, John Fowles, Don DeLillo, Salman Rushdie, Robert Cooper, Margaret Atwood, and Peter Ackroyd. under a plethora of titles, such as magic realism, historiographic metafiction, hysterical realism, fabulation, metafiction itself. So, and in this book, mainly focused on postmodernism in fiction and how it works out the concepts of representationality of reality, meaning, originality, autonomy, authenticity, via experimental narrative techniques used in metafiction and historiographic, specifically historiographic metafiction. So these postmodernist works stand at odds with the intellectualism and elitism of modernist esoteric high art on the one hand, and traditional theories of art and storytelling on the other. So they contest artistic representation prescribed by realism, as well as universalizing concepts of liberal humanism in favor of self-conscious, self-contradictory, self-reflexive, paradoxical, and popular esoteric works, which is paradoxical. Both postmodern theory and art or fiction aim to decenter, denaturalize, detotalize, and problematize metanarratives or grand narratives upon which we have grounded our thoughts and assumptions. And among these metanarratives are the idea of representation of reality, art, meaning, originality, and autonomy of art. Now, to the question of heterocosm, the term means a separate or alternative world. So, therefore, what I call heterocosmic fiction, like Chatterton by Peter Ackroyd, creates an alternative imaginary world where the text makes references to itself self-reflexively and paradoxically to an external reality simultaneously. So it does both. For that purpose, I've begun by expanding on a trajectory of representationality of art and literature chronologically. The notion of artistic representation or mimesis is mostly associated with Plato and Aristotle as expressed in his Poetics. And he argues that the nature of art is mimetic. This mimetic or representational, or you could also call it referential view of art, implies that a work of art is a representative of the outside reality. It means it can refer to an outside world as an imitative representation of the real world. In that light, art is viewed as a small world or microcosm, reflecting an outside larger world of reality, which is referred to as macrocosm. Yet, the anti-referentiality view, anti-referential view of art, which is mostly associated with modernist, especially the avant-garde movement, aims to break from the external world, the outside world, and previous conventions. So practitioners and supporters of the view instead aim at creating a work of art which is autonomous, auto-referential, by constantly killing the illusion of realism. So they reject any possibility of the work's representationality and consider a literary work or any work of art as autonomous. So in modernism, there is this emphasis on autonomy and self-sufficiency of art. In this book, I've argued that postmodern fiction, especially historiographic metafiction, is heterocosmic, and hetero meaning other or different, and microcosm, which is a small or complete world and can represent a larger world. So it denotes another or alternative world, complete world, and mainly refers to a world that the literary work creates in the process of artistic creation, which, while referring to itself, can simultaneously refer to the outside or external world paradoxically. This other or alternative world is created through fictive reference, which are constructed within the text by artistic strategies and techniques. And this world is governed by a set of rules created in the process of artistic construction, which should be acknowledged by the reader.
Thank you. That was a very good and comprehensive response to this. Now, I'm kind of curious to know why you have paid special attention to this novel, Chatterton, on by Peter Ackroyd. What is particular about this novel that you have chosen?
That's a good question, actually. It's because of the novel itself. The novel covers a wide variety of concepts with which postmodernism is preoccupied, such as I named a few before, like meaning, originality, authenticity, what is the nature of art, representationality. This is not exclusive of this novel. However, it exemplifies, all these, the kind of like preoccupations with all these concepts. The novel revisits, rethinks, and reconsiders the past historical, cultural, artistic conventions, including those of Romanticism, the Enlightenment, artistic realism, as well as modernism. So in this sense, it is a very comprehensive novel. A masterpiece, I would say, because it just covers a long, historical period or different periods. So it deals with three stories at three different historical periods, which are all interconnected. The first is the 18th century, which deals with the story of Thomas Chatterton, the famous poet, the father of Romanticism. The 19th century, the story of George Meredith, was a poet, and Henry Wallace, who was a pre-Raphaelite painter. And the 20th century, which is the current in the novel, the story of a fictional character called Charles. So all revolve around one event, and that's the death of Thomas Chatterton. But the novel offers three different interpretations of the same event and supports each version with evidence, different pieces of evidence. So most of the novel is fraught with lines and quotations from precursor writers like T.S. Eliot and also Chatterton, Thomas Chatterton himself. This revisiting the past is with critical thinking, though, providing an opportunity for the writer to reconsider all the previous conventions, of the past, including artistic, philosophical ones and ideas such as artistic autonomy, originality, the concept of genius, and the self. And it points out the paradoxes of self-referentiality, while it simultaneously creates a heterocosmic world, as I mentioned before, that is, it refers to an external reality and to itself at the same time while contesting both. So it keeps challenging what it presents constantly. And it also delineates the text, meaning granting processes, and creates this heterocosmic work through self-reflexivity, through self-reflexively revealing the narrative techniques and strategies.
And another interesting part of your work is your discussion of other postmodernists, such as Paul Manbart and Derrida, and how they have been preoccupied and sort of obsessed with Romanticism and its legacies. It would be great if you could elaborate on that point.
Yeah, that's a good question. Thank you. Another reason why I've chosen to analyze this novel, because it focuses or it gives a special attention to the Romantic period. It speaks of the legacies and what Romanticism is associated with, the humanist concept of the self, truth, individuality, originality, genius, which is embodied in Thomas Chatterton himself as the, a man of high genius, acclaimed and praised by many other romanticists like John Keats. They dedicated poems and stanzas to this figure, and also artistic expressionism. So this particular period is associated with the expressionist view of art, the famous, the spontaneous overflow of powerful feelings, which implies that language is a medium, a tool to express the poet's direct, unmediated feelings, thoughts, and emotions. This itself implies and postulates an intending, a thinking person behind a work of art, who does the act of thinking, feeling, experiences, right? Prior to the production of art. So there is a time period before and after the work. The novel challenges such assumptions, reminding Roland Barthes' famous dictum that every text is eternally written here and now, so there is no before and after. It questions the possibility of intention, and therefore, if there is no intention, then there is no intending person behind the text, then there is no before and after. So the idea of that the text is capable of expressing this individuality or the personal I of the writer is totally questioned in this novel. So it's not like I think or I feel, therefore I am. There is no such a kind of assumption in this novel. It's totally questioned through different techniques.
And can you talk about how this novel that you discuss, Chances on, how does it problematize representation of reality? Just something you talked about earlier about the idea of literature trying to represent reality out there. But can you talk about how the novel problematizes this idea?
The answer is actually what makes up much of the book. But just shortly, the novel shows that representation is a matter of or the consequence of artistic and narrative techniques and strategies. It suggests that both reality and its critique are fabricated, fictional, and constructed in a process. And postmodern fiction, such as this one, is very well aware of this and makes it explicit to the reader. And it reveals all the meaning-granting processes, techniques, and strategies in the construction of an artistic work, as well as nonfiction, such as biography and history. All constructed. Nothing is natural and given to be found. For that reason, it starts with the biography of Chatterton and blends history with fiction. So historical, real, then becomes fictional, and the fictional becomes real and historical, making this representation of reality problematic.
One final question is about the concept of meaning. How's meaning viewed in postmodernism? And you know, it's kind of a very sensitive issue because a lot of people are kind of accusing postmodernism of destroying the foundation of Western civilization because they claim that it doesn't really believe in any solid foundation or reality, let's say. But how does postmodernism view meaning? And it would be great if you could kind of relate it to the novel that you discuss, especially in this novel that you have discussed in your book.
The novel tries to show that meaning is a matter of discourse and text. It's a textual phenomenon or a textual product, in other words. It's not an entity to be found or discovered in the text. It's not the godlike the message which was put by God, author, or the godlike author in the text, but it's constructed in a process. Also, from a postmodernist perspective, there is no final ultimate meaning. There are multiple meanings. So the novel delays arriving at a determinate final meaning as it reflexively suggests and reveals that history and biography, like history and biography of Thomas Chatterton, Henry Wallace, and George Meredith, are actually a superimposition of meaning upon a given event. So that's why the event in this novel is the death of Thomas Chatterton and three possible explanations or versions of this event are offered. And these three possible explanations are actually the meanings we attach to a single event, an objective event, through writing history. The way we write history attaches and gives meaning to a certain event. That's the idea. So the idea of objective meaning is nothing but an illusion, as the novel suggests. The novel is interspersed with different narratives, voices, and meanings so that it remains unfinished and the reader is undecidable which one is true, which one is not. So at some point, the narrator says, I'm quoting, "If you trace anything backwards, trying to figure out cause and effect, or motive, or meaning, there is no real origin or anything. Everything just exists. Everything just exists in order to exist, end quote. So an event just exists, but meaning is what we construct and give to it in the process of writing. And that could be fiction, that could be history, biography, and overall, like many other postmodernist texts, this one offers multiplicity of meanings rather than one single truth meaning, which are exemplified in the three different narratives or narrations of or accounts of the death of Thomas Chatterton. And as this novel suggests, meaning is not a final product, but a process. This meaning as a process status is extended throughout the novel. And in that light, history and biography are viewed as a human construct, a creation, an artifact, and therefore fictional. Rather than presenting a monolithic, single God-like, authoritative voice, the novel provides a set of contradictory voices and meanings which can test each other, just like what Bart said, that a text is a multi-dimensional space in which a variety of writings, none of them original, blend and clash.
Dr. Aryan, thank you very much for speaking with us and introducing Peter Ackroyd, at least to me, whom I'd never heard of it before, as I said before, coming across your book. So thank you very much for accepting our invitation and speaking about this book.
And thank you very much. It was my pleasure. Thank you. Have a lovely time.